We are prepared to engage as soon as we hear from our counterparts in North Korea.
India, North Korea, and Hong Kong lead a busy day. It's Monday, September 23rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, remembering Afghans killed. World leaders gather in New York. Democrats position themselves for the White House. Changing broadcast leadership. An iconic monument reopens. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump has praised Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and the Indian American community in the United States. Trump appeared with Modi before a largely Indian audience of some 50,000 people who packed Houston Stadium for the Howdy Modi event. Trump told the Indian American community, "We are proud to have you as Americans. My administration is fighting for you each and every day." Modi, while introducing Trump, said he has already made the American economy strong again. He said in the 2 years that Trump has been in office, India and U.S. relations have reached new heights. Trump praised the bilateral relationship, saying India has never invested in the U.S. like it is doing today, and he wants to say it's reciprocal because we're doing the same thing in India. Trump told Modi that India has never had a better friend as President Donald Trump, but despite the president's positive assertions, the U.S. and India have yet to agree on a trade deal, which has been stalled since the U.S. canceled India's special trade status. In turn, India increased tariffs on several dozen American products. One of the organizers of the Howdy Modi event said Trump is completely welcomed by the community. Recent polls, however, show lackluster support for Trump within the Indian American community, a majority of whom voted for Trump's Democratic rival Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Modi is facing global backlash for his crackdown in disputed Kashmir. Last month, he stripped the Indian-controlled section of Kashmir of its semi-autonomous status, sparking renewed tensions with Pakistan, which also claims part of Kashmir. India has deployed thousands of troops to prevent violent protests in the Muslim-majority region, and residents in Kashmir continue to face curbs on travel and communications restrictions. President Trump later travels to Ohio, where he will make an appearance with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison. In Ohio, the president and Morrison will tour a new Australian-owned manufacturing facility for Pratt Industries. Meanwhile, President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un have already met 3 times since last June, and Trump says round 4 could soon happen. But Korea watchers are more focused on long-delayed working-level talks, as VOA's William Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un may have promised to resume talks when the U.S.-South Korean military drills ended. They did end Tuesday. A day later, Steve Biegun, the top U.S. envoy for North Korea, confirmed during a visit to Seoul he hadn't heard from the North.
Regarding the restart of those negotiations, we are prepared to engage as soon as we hear from our counterparts in North Korea.
Instead, North Korean state media blasted the U.S. for holding the drills at all and hinted the North could soon return to larger provocations. The latest U.S.-South Korean exercises were computer-based, meaning there were no bombs dropped on dummy targets or overt displays of military strength. But North Korea has continued to complain about the scaled-back drills, saying it sees them as preparation to invade. William Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Continuing to overshadow other world events are the ongoing protests in Hong Kong, where protesters vandalized a subway station and defaced a Chinese flag Sunday during another weekend of pro-democracy demonstrations. Thousands also rallied inside a shopping mall in the Sha Tin area. Protesters later built a barricade across the street and set it on fire. Riot police fired tear gas to disperse some of the protesters. Meanwhile, Hong Kong has cut back rail and bus access to its airport in a move designed to avoid an anti-government protest at one of the busiest airport hubs in the world. The airport authority said in a statement warning demonstrators to stay away, there are calls online for using fake boarding passes, fake air tickets, or fake flight booking information to enter the terminal buildings. The airport authority reminds that such behavior could amount to forgery or using false instrument. On Saturday, police fired tear gas at demonstrators who vandalized a light rail station. A proposed bill that would have allowed some Hong Kong criminal suspects to be extradited to mainland China for trial sparked the months-long anti-government demonstrations. The extradition legislation has been withdrawn, but the demonstrations continue. Dissenters have since broadened their demands for the direct election of their leaders and police accountability. More than 1,300 people have been arrested since the demonstrations began in early June. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. Hong Kong protesters vandalize subway station and deface Chinese flag. Solomons recognize Beijing in latest diplomatic blow to Taiwan. In Cambodia, it's a bad year for dengue fever. Asia activists do dirty work of cleaning trash on World Cleanup Day. Kiribati cuts diplomatic ties to Taiwan in favor of China. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia as well as the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue now with VOA Asia. Afghanistan has been awash in violence for decades, and hundreds of thousands of civilians have died in the fighting. A memorial designed to remember those lost and help survivors heal recently opened in Mazar-e-Sharif. VOA's Mirwas Bejan visited this exhibition and filed this report narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
A small handful of personal items are sometimes all that is left of a life. But each photograph of an Afghan war victim displayed in this exhibition is accompanied by small items that were theirs in life. Prayer rugs, prayer beads, letters, clothing items. Small things that can tell a larger story. Family members visiting the exhibition relive the day they lost their loved ones.
Back in 1978, during the Communist Party's rule, many local religious clergies and imams were picked up from the religious schools and taken to places not suitable for humans and were brutally killed.
Roughly 3,000 to 4,000 enemy fighters attacked our town at around 10 o'clock at night. Our government forces did their best to fight them, but there were too many of them. Some people were able to run away, but the ones who were captured were killed.
Jamila, who lost her brother in a clash between Taliban forces and the Afghan National Army, says her brother's family lost its leader.
My brother has 11 kids. Six of them are girls and five of them are boys. He was doing well in life, a farmer, a working man, but ended up being killed by the Taliban.
Organizers of this exhibition say civilian rights and lives should be the number one priority for the government.
We are hopeful that the current government and the next government that will be formed after elections will put justice in the forefront of the policies. It goes without saying that without justice and human rights, it is impossible for a stable and peaceful society.
According to a study called Costs of War, done by Brown University's Watson Institute, roughly 140,000 Afghan civilians were killed between 2001 and 2016 alone. This number does not include wounded civilians, nor does it include military personnel. For Mirwais Bejan in Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, the Solomon Islands announced the establishment of diplomatic relations with China, becoming the second Pacific Island nation in as many days to switch diplomatic recognition from Taiwan. The moves are part of Beijing's long-term effort to undermine Taiwan's recognition as an independent nation. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us as we start a brand new week on VOA Asia. As world leaders, including from most Asian nations, gather for their annual meetings at the UN General Assembly this week, escalating tensions between Washington and Iran could overshadow those proceedings. But the UN Secretary General is hoping to keep the mounting emergency over climate change in the spotlight. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir has more.
The drone attacks on two major oil facilities in Saudi Arabia a week ago have shifted what at first appeared to be a possible opportunity for an opening in U.S.-Iranian relations into an urgency to avert a dangerous escalation. President Trump tightened sanctions on Tehran and said it looks like Iran was the culprit.
Well, it's looking that way. We'll have some pretty good, we're having some very strong studies done, but it's certainly looking that way at this moment, and we'll let you know. As soon as we find out definitively, we'll let you know, but it does look that way.
The prospect of a Trump-Rouhani summit, widely speculated about in the lead-up to New York, appears unlikely now. But the possibility was always a larger gamble for the Iranian leader than the American one.
So if there is a meeting with President Trump in New York and the Iranian president gets nothing in return, that photo opportunity might work well for President Trump in the United States, for his base. But back in Tehran, Rouhani will be attacked as somebody who is naive, who should have never shown up for that meeting, because they will say predictably he's got nothing to show for it.
Aside from this geopolitical crisis, global warming will be the focus for most leaders gathered in New York.
Let's face it, we have no time to lose. We are losing the race against climate change.
It is so decided.
100 leaders armed with concrete plans for dramatically reducing greenhouse gas emissions are expected to participate in Monday's summit.
We will showcase promising initiatives aiming at moving away from coal, putting a price on carbon, stopping subsidies for fossil fuels, and cutting the pollution that damages our health.
On Saturday, before the leaders meet, hundreds of young climate activists will have their own summit. Sweden's Greta Thunberg, who traveled to the U.S. on a zero-emission sailboat, will speak at that event. Starting Tuesday, leaders will address the General Assembly. One of the most anticipated statements will be from the U.S. president.
President Trump will, as always, mainly be talking about himself. And he will be focusing a lot on his claim that he's making progress on nuclear diplomacy with North Korea. Trump likes to present himself as a peacemaker. He clearly isn't succeeding in that when it comes to dealing with Iran. So the Korean issue is the one that he will strongly emphasize.
Other speeches to watch include the debuts of British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who is often referred to as the Trump of the tropics. A last-minute dropout is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whose political future is in limbo after Tuesday's parliamentary election did not hand him a clear victory. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Coming up, it's all about popularity and polls right now in the race for the White House. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. The United States said it is deeply disappointed in Kiribati's decision to abandon its diplomatic ties with Taiwan in favor of China. A State Department spokesperson said countries hoping to find themselves in better economic positions with China will, quote, often find themselves worse off in the long run. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, a new poll is showing Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren surging into second place in the Democratic presidential race behind former Vice President Joe Biden. The NBC News Wall Street Journal poll found Biden leading the Democratic field with 31%, followed by Warren at 25%, and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in third place with 14%. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has the latest on the Democratic primary race from Washington.
Senator Elizabeth Warren took her campaign before a large crowd in New York City, where she vowed to attack political corruption if elected president.
Corruption has broken our economy, and corruption is breaking our democracy. I know what's broken. I've got a plan to fix it.
Warren has been rising in the polls for months and has emerged as a top challenger to the front runner, former Vice President Joe Biden.
Everybody knows who Donald Trump is, even his supporters. No, everybody, even his supporters know. They have no illusions. But we got to let them know who we are. We got to let them know who we are.
The candidates are back on the campaign trail after last week's spirited debate in Houston. During the debate, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker urged his rivals to temper their attacks on one another.
We've got one shot to make Donald Trump a one-term president, and we cannot lose it by the way we talk about each other or demonize and degrade each other.
After three debates, Biden, Warren, and Sanders remain atop the Democratic field, says Julie Pace.
The ultimate thing that you want to know, though, out of these debates is, did anybody change their standing? And I think among those three candidates, the answer is probably not really.
So far, Biden appears to be doing just enough to hold his lead, says analyst Larry Sabato.
Joe Biden did reasonably well. I think he did better than in the first two debates. That's not to say he gave a perfect performance. He always manages to work in some odd things, like encouraging people to listen to their record players.
Sabato says Biden continues to benefit from the notion that he would be the strongest candidate to run against President Trump next year.
There's a reason why they've made a tentative choice. Democrats have clarified their entire nominating process and boiled it down to one question. Who can defeat the president, President Donald Trump? That's what they care about.
Even though Sanders and Warren are battling for second place, Warren has been the one on the rise in recent polls, notes Emory University expert Andra Gillespie.
And the challenge for Sanders is that there is a viable additional option in Elizabeth Warren. And so I think what we are paying attention to now in these surveys is whether or not Elizabeth Warren's ascendance is actually coming at the expense of Bernie Sanders. And so I think that that's still an open question.
Democrats hold their next debate next month in Ohio. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia. Hong Kong police have engaged in routine and systematic abusive treatment of protesters and residents throughout the 3 months of anti-government protests. That's according to Amnesty International, which documents many instances of reckless, violent, and indiscriminate policing since the mass protests began June 12th. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, U.S. Global Broadcasting is set to have new leadership. Michael Pak, a conservative filmmaker, has been nominated to run the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which is the parent agency for Voice of America. Pak testified at a Senate confirmation hearing Thursday. VOA's Brian Patton reports that the nominee addressed concerns that President Donald Trump could impose a political bias on government news agencies like the Voice of America, which is mandated by law to be objective and balanced in its reporting and protected from interference by other U.S. government agencies.
Michael Pak told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Thursday he would ensure journalistic independence at the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees VOA, if confirmed to become the organization's first CEO nominated by the Trump administration.
The whole agency rests on the belief that the reporters are independent, that no political influence is telling them how to report the news and what to say. Without that trust, I think the agency is completely undermined.
Pak is a documentary producer who headed the conservative California-based Claremont Institute and has spoken out against the perceived liberal bias in the film industry. With a $628 million yearly budget, the USAGM oversees all government-funded international news organizations that together broadcast to 100 countries and reach an estimated audience of 345 million people. They include The Voice of America, which broadcasts in over 40 languages around the world, TV and Radio Martí broadcast to Cuba, Arabic language networks Al Hora TV and Sawa Radio, as well as Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty and Radio Free Asia. The VOA Charter, signed into law in 1976, and the International Broadcasting Act mandate all government broadcasters adhere to strict journalistic standards that free press advocates say are essential to be a credible source of news to international audiences.
You're not a state-run media that only tells one side of the story, as often state-run media does in other countries.
Republican and Democratic lawmakers backed the agency's journalistic mission, says a former VOA director.
The members of Congress have always supported the broadcasting by VOA and the other broadcasters because they recognize the value of having one source of news that people, audiences around the world can rely on.
Some of President Trump's critics have raised concerns that he would seek to turn these news agencies into one-sided propaganda machines for his administration's policies. The panel's top Democrat, Senator Bob Menendez, called into question PAC's ties to Steve Bannon, the former White House chief strategist for President Trump and former head of Breitbart News, a domestic outlet widely seen as advocating nationalist conservative causes. The two worked together on documentaries examining the Iraq war and nuclear power. Menendez asked how PAC would protect agency journalists from political pressure.
Are you capable of saying no?
I think so. I have said no before.
Even if journalistic concerns are resolved, PAC's nomination could still be delayed by detailed background checks and by the Senate's long backlog of nominees awaiting a confirmation vote. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
A monumental event, you might say, has taken place here in Washington. The Washington Monument reopened to the public last week after being closed for years to replace its aging elevator and security system. First Lady Melania Trump attended the ribbon-cutting ceremony. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suarez saves us from climbing all those stairs of this massive obelisk.
This iconic landmark in the nation's capital has been closed for most of the past 8 years after a 5.8 magnitude earthquake in 2011 left 150 cracks in the stones. The Washington Monument briefly opened in 2016, but closed again after a series of elevator malfunctions.
We totally rehabbed and rebuilt the elevator system, so that's new cabling, new programming that goes with it, refurbished the motor that's part of it. And then also incorporated security screening requirements.
First Lady Melania Trump took a ceremonial first ride to the top with local students as the first public visitors.
Named after the first president of the United States, the Washington Monument is the most dramatic feature on the city's skyline and one of the most popular tourist attractions on the National Mall, averaging 500,000 visitors a year. And now tourists are very excited to be able to go back on top of the monument to see a most dramatic, spectacular view of the city.
People lined up in the early morning to get tickets. This couple from Shanghai, who do not speak English, asked for spare tickets by showing a handwritten sign that said their ancestors donated one of the commemorative stone tablets in the monument.
Well, they were very persistent. They really wanted to get up there, and I had two extra tickets.
There are 193 commemorative stone tablets set into the interior walls of the monument. According to the National Park Services, one of them was donated by the American mission in Ningbo, China, whom the Zhangs claim as their ancestors.
We are very happy.
We are very thankful.
All the tickets are sold out and we'll fly back to China tomorrow.
Construction began in 1848 and took nearly 40 years to complete due to the Civil War and lack of funding. This time, the monument's repair was funded not only with taxpayers' money, but also with millions of dollars in private donations. Patsy Whitaker-Suarez, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on many great radio stations around Asia, like CCU Radio at National Chung Cheng University in Taipei, Taiwan. We thank everyone there who's tuned into our program today. Invite you back as well. If you've missed any part of our program, you can easily find it. It's on iTunes and SoundCloud. You'll also find it on VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. Speaking of Facebook, we'd like to thank Michelle Liu for streaming our program on Facebook today, as well as our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Greg Burns, managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Kelly Jean Kelly. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a nice day ahead.